XS, y'all fit. Who's what's going on? Jibuya Malumi YouTube, and welcome back to Malume's mic. Number one, I'm so sorry about my voice, guys. Previous episode with Gugu, I got a bit too excited, man.
You were screaming.
I was screaming. I was venting, and I was just, a lot was happening. But today, I've got a brand new podcast. We've got Malume's mic, and we've got a really cool guest today. Before I even intro you guys, I want to explain to you guys how I found out about Unaram. It wasn't even from one of our boys, Tron. So my ex-girlfriend was like a huge fan of Una.
Yeah.
she speak about Una and Muzi every day. And obviously, as a bro, I'm there like, what do you think has got that I don't got, bro?
Who is this?
Like, hey, Una Rams. I actually met Una. Oh, it's not gonna be there. Then there was a day I was like, you know what? We were meeting up with Tron.
Yeah.
And then Una was there. And I was like, yo, baby. Here's
I get Una. It. Here's your man.
Like, ah! I was just there like, yeah, what's up, Una? Nice to meet you. But today we got Una Rams in the conversation. As you guys know, we bring in guests, but we don't make the interview about them. We're trying to show you guys their perspective of how they feel about our views.
Yeah.
And our conversations, which is really cool. But yeah, man, we've got someone that has done such crazy things. Una Rams is an award-winning musician, huge.
You forgot the Grammy
Yeah,
you forgot the Grammy part.
You gotta say Grammy.
Doesn't scream at Grammy.
Yeah, but Una, guys, Una's a superstar, guys. We all love his music. I remember us being in university and just chilling in my apartment and just jamming Una only.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking about as you're speaking?
Yeah.
I want me some more money.
Oh, God. Money. I used to love that jam. Yeah. That was the first jam I've ever. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. And today's a cool conversation. So we're speaking about how university, how high school, how the education system has basically shaped us as human beings today. And the cool thing is that we all come from the University of Pretoria.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty similar story. But our high school changed a little bit. A little bit similar.
How did you introduce the topic? Different.
I said we're speaking about how the education system has shaped us today.
Oh, there you go again. How did school shape you as a person?
Yeah,
not necessarily the education. I want the whole environment.
Yeah, because like I'm gonna start with the degrees this time. Matladi is
I do have a degree.
Yeah, he's got a degree.
I like how he says surprises everybody else.
Yeah.
I am. Hey, well, shout out to COVID degrees.
So Matladi studied commerce, but then he's in real estate.
Yeah, but mention that I did engineering for 2 years.
He did engineering for 2 years?
Yeah.
Absolutely dribbled him. And then he moved to commerce.
Yeah.
And then
dribbled
now,
me too.
Now he's in real estate. Yeah. I did engineering and now I'm in entertainment. Una study. What did you say? Is that BCom?
Computer science.
Com science.
What's wrong with the BCom, Una?
Hey man, I'm just saying. On my name.
So he did computer science, huge, and then he is literally in the entertainment space too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lou?
Oh, I did industrial engineering.
Is that a real?
I just did engineering.
Real engineering.
Oh no, that's the realest it gets.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
What is industrial engineering? Just by the way.
Industrial engineering is problem solving. It's problem solving across any industry. So we deal with efficiency improvements, continuous improvement, that whole any system, any operational environment.
Yeah.
Improve those.
And you discovered this how?
Also, the degree teaches you how to make the degree sound lit as well.
No.
It's one of our classrooms. Like, so guys.
If you are ever, you know what's crazy? The whole of third year, every class you go to.
So everybody wants to understand what industrial engineering is.
Yeah.
So this is what you say.
Facts. Una, are you actually working using your degree now?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit of a Hannah Montana situation.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus voice.
Yeah, I'll be coding during the day and then at night it's either studio or a show or something.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
and dope. I've never actually met someone that does both.
Yeah.
And that's so mean for me to say because Lucas and Matladi are doing both.
We are here. We are here right now recording.
Yeah.
But it's obviously there's an element of I would consider your music full time. You're a full time artist. And you also have a job.
Yeah.
How does one balance that? Where do you start? When does Una Rams come on?
Yeah, like I think it's been quite a whirlwind.
Yeah.
It's tested a lot of my patience and willpower.
Yeah.
And requires some discipline. I think obviously like the job's there and it fulfills a part of me, but at the end of the day, my heart's somewhere else and it's like the minute I'm set free and I can like just do me,
yeah.
The music's what I'm running to.
Why do you keep both if one calls you so much more than the other?
We have to make it make sense, man. We're in South Africa.
Making ends meet.
Yeah. So, of course, like, the music's been generating some income.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to sustain the lifestyle I have. I have expenses.
It all boils down to my taste expenses.
Hey, it's bad. So, yeah, I'm just trying to, like, level it, play it smart, and, like, exit when it makes sense for me.
Yeah. And Liv was speaking about this earlier. My brother was saying that, like, he read somewhere or you heard somewhere that, like, if you're really smart in South Africa, you get a job, you do your job, don't get a promotion.
Yeah.
Do whatever you're doing, don't get a promotion. Become work efficient at that level that you're working at, and then do your passions. Because you know you've got that steady income coming month to month.
Yeah.
You know what you can do. You know how you can operate that. You're giving them 20%, then your 80% is going towards your passion or your businesses or your side hustles. So I kind of see what you're doing. And then once you obviously get to the point where you don't need that sustainability for the car and for the apartment and everything, you drop it, and then from there you go full-time in your passion.
Yeah, I think it comes, the ball's down to leveraging on your strengths.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you are good at, like, some academic stuff that could get you a job, capitalize. And while you do whatever you're passionate about, but don't sleep on the fact that you can be productive in both departments.
Yeah.
Which, you might like, your story is also, like, a little bit different, because, like, you were in the commerce space, but now he says he sells dreams. What do you say?
Improves lives.
What, from your degree or from high school, do you think has, like, given you knowledge to improve lives?
So when I decided to go to BCom, I was still trying to figure out what I want to do. Then I realized that I'm one of those guys that enjoy doing multiple things. So I tried to do a degree that offered me the opportunity to do as many things as I can. So I use my degree every day. So it's a thing of, like, okay, it's not really the things that I plan to do, but because I have an opportunity, I want to be useful, like I said in the previous episode. So anything where I feel useful, I enjoy. So I use my degree in that regard. Unfortunately, I believe that I'm not as skilled as I wanted to be in terms of talents and all those things. I don't have a passion project, but I want to be useful. That's my desire and goals every day when I wake up. So going to school shaped that. So I feel very fortunate in the sense that I've been given an opportunity to be in a career that allows me to work with people. It allows me to actually, when I say improve lives, I actually mean it. It's not a joke. Like, you're moving from one thing.
And that is him saying it's kind of you making that a joke.
It's not a joke.
Grandma said, hey,
don't play on my career.
I'm not joking, bro.
Yeah, but it's also a lot of luck involved, but school helped to answer this question.
You need to stop doing that. You keep saying that. It's not luck, bro. I think you're where you're at because of all the things you've been doing throughout high school, primary school, and university. Your friendships, the way you behave them within friendships, the way you behave within relationships.
Man, like, I kind of agree, but there's, to a degree, at some extent, like,
of, of luck.
There is.
There's homies that work way harder than I do.
But do they work as smart as you, though?
That doesn't matter. The fact that they work, there's homies that do manual labor. That's real hard work, but they're not as rewarded as I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you feel like you've been lucky, Una? Because you're saying you agree with the luck thing.
There's so many moments in my life that I just felt like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, for instance, even meeting Coffee.
Yeah.
He was just booked at a show called Wild Explosion Back Home.
For clarity.
But we're both for the same show.
Yeah.
By chance, somehow, the car he's being escorted by is playing some music. It's on shuffle. My song comes on. He's like, that's, whoa, crazy. Who's this kid? The guy that's driving happens to know me, right? Mm. He's like, oh, no, he's a kid from around here. Like, he's really dope, right? Coffee's like, I need to meet him. I was already done at the show. Like, it was 5 a.m. in the morning. I had to go to church. But I get a call as I'm just about to leave the car that was taking me home. I'm like, yo, come back to the show. I'm like, it's fine. They're like, Coffee wants to meet you. I'm like, okay. Get right back in. We had a nice chat. And then fast forward a couple of months, I'm with Espacio Duos. We're doing a shoot for this magazine. We end up at Anati's house.
Yeah.
Because Espacio was
that time.
They were boys and whatnot, innit?
Yeah.
So cool. We're there. And I'm trying to text my girlfriend at the time. Yo, I've been with Espacio all day because she knew how much of a fan I was.
Yeah.
By mistake, I text Coffee. And then he's just like, yo, that's dope. Let's make a song.
Whoa, what are the odds?
We do that. And then one night, we're at a cinema, had popcorn. I think I had too much salt in it. And me and homegirl get in a fight. So I'm just like, yo, I know you're mad, but take me to the studio real quick. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
But we're still fighting. We get to the studio, make a song, and already I knew where I wanted to take it.
Yeah.
Takes it to the coffee. Next day, he's texting back fire emojis going, bro,
yeah,
this tune, literally 3 years later, song gets released on his album. And a year later after that, like, huge, he wins a Grammy.
That's crazy.
Huge.
So
yeah, that's crazy.
That is luck. There's
that's
a there's
dope
luck
story. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thing is, I think it's, for me at least, it's way more simple than that. The fact that you were born in this country,
yeah,
there's some luck to it. The fact that you had the opportunities you had when you went to school, that's nothing of your doing.
Mm.
You didn't choose your parents. So I can't take credit for that. I can't say I work hard. Yeah, yeah, I'm a genius, and I do believe I'm a genius, by the way. just say, but I think it takes away from everything that everybody else has contributed towards me.
Yeah, so you know,
continue.
I hear what you guys are saying, and I understand it. I have a different stance on what luck is. I feel like luck, yes, it's valid to use the phrase. I just feel like it's more of things you can't really articulate how you ended up in that position.
Sure.
Because we can always trace back to how this happened or what happened. That would have never happened if you didn't record the track, for example.
Yeah, true.
That wouldn't have happened. There's so many things. It's just a coincidence that they align that perfectly.
Mm.
But there were actions and instances that led up to that moment. It wasn't completely random.
Yeah.
Well, existence might be, but that moment wasn't, because there were things that happened to lead to that moment. But we don't want to go and express all those things and
that's
try
hard
to nitpick where how it happened to end up in that position. So the best way to articulate it, like, oh, that's a lucky outcome. Like, that's a lucky.
Do you believe in luck?
I believe in luck in the sense of it's preparation meets an opportunity. Okay. Like, if I'm somewhat prepared for something and I'm granted an opportunity, I would only be able to take advantage of that because I'm prepared for it. Mm. And I'll be lucky.
Feel you.
In that sense.
But I feel like once that, like, the sphere of decision is outside your own control, there's something else to play. Like, even how you guys met and became such close friends.
Nothing in our control.
You didn't plan that. Like, you didn't go, today.
Or no, fully.
Yeah. You know, but you guys came through, you probably decided where to sit in class and by chance like start a conversation or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's different things, like it's just a sprinkle of
some
possibilities.
Yeah.
But and then things just happen. It's like chaos, but arranged chaos.
You do have to be prepared.
Yeah.
It's not gonna just happen. Yeah, you don't want to go get lucky your whole life. It's like every day you wake up and you have a job. Next thing you go outside, you get a girlfriend.
And you walk out and you get a Ferrari. Yeah.
How do you guys actually feel about like failure in university and how it shaped you now? Because I know your academic record. And I know your academic record too. I don't know if Una flew at UP or if there were any hiccups, but I know these guys' academic record, and there was a lot of failure, including myself.
Yo, put me on blast.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel like failure has shaped you like to this day? I want to start with you. No, I want to start with
you. Okay, for me,
you did the most failing.
I did the most amount of learning.
Also,
so it's not a loss, it's a lesson. University is so tricky because also no one is ever prepared for that.
Mm.
I came from high school, the laziest kid you will ever meet. Didn't fail anything. In fact, so I did way better than I should have. I got to pass.
You take credit for nothing.
I remember I got to varsity, and I'm sure you guys can relate. I think it was our first semester test. When I was still doing engineering, I do have to mention that again. So we do that. I remember it was a physics exam. For the first time in my life, I literally put in effort and then I failed.
Yeah.
And then for the first time, I had to, how do you react after this? And I think people will give you advice. People will tell you not what to do, but the only way to learn of it is through the experience itself. And because I feel like I failed multiple times, I feel I handle failure a little bit better now. I'm not as disappointed as I used to be.
Mm.
So school is expensive, but the lessons you learn are kind of, they're worth it. So
yeah,
to answer your question.
How do you guys feel about failure?
I feel like
affecting you now.
Failure has shaped the person I am today. Because I don't think I would have learned as much as I did had I breezed through life.
Yeah.
Because coming from, for example, coming from high school, actually similar to yours, I was laid back. I didn't have to try much to get by in high school. I really didn't even take high school serious for like the first 2 years or so. And then I got to a point where I met a maths teacher who taught it in such a way that he made you feel like you didn't know things for not knowing things.
Luck.
Well, if you want to call it that.
Sounds like you didn't
know, but I was teacher. Okay, but wait, listen, we're not going to go into that. But nonetheless, so in that instance, he taught me the things I don't know. And I will never know them until I applied myself.
Yeah.
And that started off a chain reaction for me to apply myself and be more conscious of learning things I don't know rather than trying to relay things I know. And when I got to varsity, speaking of physics, I think that was our first wake-up call when we got to varsity, first semester.
The one just called FSK116.
Yeah. 116.
I think first time I experienced failure academically was first year in university. That's when I realized that you can't breeze through this. It's not willy-nilly. You can't. The amount of effort you put in equates to the results you get.
Yeah.
And I learned that if you don't put in the work, you will fail.
Yeah.
And that has been something that I've seen throughout life.
Yeah.
Can't get away with it.
Have you tasted failure, Una?
Of course. It doesn't compromise and it doesn't like say, nah, you're clean. Like,
yeah.
It's a bit different for me. I came out of high school like straight A student, a nerd, like top 10 the whole way.
Yeah.
Got to varsity. Our first year was a breeze. So I'm listening to you guys like, damn.
which first year you all?
But I get to, I think it's all the way up to third year where I failed my first module. And that was just like, yo.
Wait, so the first time you experienced failing in varsity?
Failing in school. Year. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. And that's the same as a level, actually. How was that's that for crazy. You? Because I know my brother, that was devastating to
it's
him.
Crazy, man. Like, it's changing your whole paradigm on who you are, your self-image. Because all along, you've known yourself and you've been known as this, you know, pretty much successful student.
Yeah.
And you get to a point where you're challenged so much, you're just like, I do not know what's happening.
Yeah.
The world kind of turns upside down for you. But in that moment, it kind of took me back to high school where I didn't get the marks I wanted to get for maths. And that was my favorite subject. Yeah, I'm really letting it out that I'm a nerd. But instead of just sitting and sulking, I was like, you know what? It's cool. This is just an indicator that you do not know as much as you thought you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of just getting sad the whole time, my response to failure has been anger.
Yeah.
But it has to be directed back at the thing that I failed at. And it might not be the healthiest way to deal with something, but at least it allows me to pick myself up and just, you know, carry on moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I wanna ask a follow-up question on what we've this conversation. How have you guys learned to deal with failure? Like, you experienced it, yes. But now, how do you then deal with it?
You want to start
in
with
the
me
same
again?
Order. Let's do it in the same order.
Disappointment will always be disappointment.
Mm.
And whether you're dealing with it or not, you will feel it.
Yeah.
I think now it's the principle of how long do you let it affect you? Yeah. And do you tie yourself down? Does the failure define you? And I think I try not to. And it's this time, the seasons where you can go for months and you did one bad thing or you failed at one task and you let it represent you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate, but I think when you do have the ability to, and I'm so envious of people that can do that, it's people that fail and move on immediately.
Yeah.
And I think that's a talent in itself. So I think I just need to nurture that. I need to be, it's patience. Because sometimes you didn't fail. It didn't happen in the time it should have happened.
Yeah.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
failure
is tricky and it's scary. It's, yeah. I don't want to fail.
Yeah.
You?
With me personally, I've never believed in the education system. I don't believe in the
education. Let me just put it out there.
So like when I failed, I was always there like, it's because you guys aren't asking me the way I can like express myself.
Yeah.
So for me, failure, and I can say this because I failed a lot. For me, failure never really affected me. It was just a thing of, okay, cool. You don't know how to answer these questions the way they want you to answer these questions.
Yeah.
And then because I failed so much, I learned that failure doesn't come once or twice. Failure is a part of life. What, so I think I just accepted that like failure is going to come to me today. It might not be there for 3 months. It's going to come to me again.
Yeah.
But what matters is that like if I move from that failure and move to the next thing, which is success, I can keep going.
Yeah.
So like I just accepted that like failure is not a once-off thing. It's so gonna, I'm going to fail tomorrow probably. I failed today. Today I failed to deliver to a client and I had to basically drop them because of other things. So I failed today. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that outlook.
Yeah.
It's how you view things. And I think that's very important.
And then you?
Man, what do they say in business? Fail quickly and fail early or something? Something like
Fail fast.
Fail fast.
Yeah.
Fail fast.
But you fail forward.
Fail forward.
I've had a lot of failures, even in my musical career. And I think that one hurts worse because it's like, it's not anything anyone else has set out for you. It's what you're setting out for yourself.
Yeah.
And
so it hurts the most.
It's outside of the limelight. You know, when there's no fans to cheer you, there's no white. Yeah. White man. So it's dealing with you. And I used to just shut myself out, like not want to see the world, not want to really talk about it with anyone else. I felt like I'd be the only one to deal with it.
Yeah.
For the longest time, until I had to say, yo, I'm surrounded by beautiful people who love and care for me.
Yeah.
And had to start learning how to accept that support in that time. But also realizing that it is human nature. We're not going to be perfect. And there is a beauty in it because in all those times, like, you know, it took a dip, we bounced back even harder. Hey.
I think you touched on something important as far as support, because I think for so long I also fall victim in this idea of accountability. Like, I take accountability for my actions completely. Yeah. Like, if I fail, I'm to blame. If I'm succeeding, I'm to blame. I want to share that I did my part to get this outcome.
Yeah.
Regardless if it's good or bad. If it's bad, I will fix it. But that kind of, for the longest time, would hinder asking for help or support from people around you, because we are so, it's all me. I failed. I'm going through a lot. That you forget that there are people who are rooting for you and there are people that want you to succeed that you can like fall back on and be like, hey, I failed. Actually, it even comes down to like Zgela, where the first time I went for a consultation session. Because I had never, for me, my consultation hours at this time and that time, who needs that?
You put niggas on with that.
I'm like, consultation for who? And then I had chemistry and I was catching hands. But I needed to pass this because it would have delayed my progress. And I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm trying my best and I'm not succeeding. I'm not understanding what's going on. And I'm like, actually, let me try this consultation thing and ask for help for once.
Yeah.
And I finally did that and it enlightened me so much because I killed that module afterwards. And that was just one session sitting with that lecturer. And she was like, this is what we're trying to get from you. This is what you're trying to achieve, you should achieve, blah, 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 blah. All that information that I would have otherwise not have known unless if I asked for help. And that I've tried to keep in the back of my head, that if I'm failing and I feel helpless, there's probably somebody somewhere who probably can help bridge this gap that I can't cross over. So it's very important. I feel like it's very important to look around you and say, don't just look at failure as something you need to fix on your own. That you can have people help you and give you advice or some day 2 cents or maybe a different perspective. Remember how many times we talk about having different perspectives on things?
Yeah,
facts.
It's crazy.
It's like, as you guys are speaking about school, I'm thinking about like the academic year starting in Jan, Feb. Yeah. I want to say, like, everyone listening to the podcast, like, I'm hoping everybody, which camera am I looking at? That one. I'm hoping everybody.
These are different problems.
I'm hoping everybody, like, obviously goes to Zgela, goes to class, tries their best, and passes. But if you fail, I know, like, a lot of us, in our first semester of failing, we were all so embarrassed of failing.
Yeah.
We were so scared to speak to our peers that we failed. And it put us in a certain mindset that wasn't necessarily nice. Like, some people can have the worst thoughts, some people don't care. Mm. But, like, when you're in that state, don't be scared to reach out to a friend and tell your friend that, yo, listen, I know you passed, but I failed. And I want to know what you did to pass. And then you'll hear someone like Lucas say, yo, you should go and consult. Like with me, I struggled through university. I only passed because of Lucas, because I was always consulting with Lucas. Because Lucas was doing the same degree as me, but he was always a year ahead of me. So module would come and be like, okay, cool, man, Lou, what do I need to know for this module? And then he said, okay, cool, focus on this, focus on that.
You give me too much credit. You're quite smart.
No, I'm lit too.
You are very smart.
No, I'm lit too. I helped him too with a couple things. I'm lit too. But like, not facts.
He did.
But he told me the importance of understanding what you're doing. And I really struggled with the concept of understanding your work. for me, it's like I was always trying to tick a box, yeah, get it done.
Pass.
I was trying to like basically get the
Yeah, Tato will always be like, how do I do thermodynamics? How do you do this? I just want to figure out what this V is for. Like, you, even if I told you what this V is for, if you don't know where it came from, it doesn't matter because they're going to switch the question up and you're going to be confused. Yeah.
But for me, like, engineering was for my dad and my parents.
Yeah, you really think so?
Yeah, I've never had an urge to be an engineer.
What would have been the alternative?
I wanted to be a pilot. Then my dad was like, if you become a pilot, you won't have a like stable family. Because you're always going to be in the sky. Your wife's going to be there, your kids. Then I'm like, dude, why are you assuming I even wanted family? I was really good in accounting. Like, I am really good in accounting.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an accountant as well. Then he was like, I did that. Why would you do what I did? You need to up level. So yeah, I would have been a pilot.
You went through a lot of the conversation.
Yeah, so I wanted to be either a pilot or someone in the commerce space.
That's right.
No, that's cool.
Crazy.
What did you want to be?
Growing up,
yeah,
only struggle finding out. Like, I would never have, like, have a firm decision of what I wanted to be.
Yeah,
I think you still don't know what you're gonna be now,
I want to do as much good as possible.
Yeah,
yes.
There's nothing more, and I want to have an impact. Like, yeah. I want to be felt.
Purpose.
Yeah, I want purpose. I don't, like I said, I want to be useful.
I get that.
Yeah. This man's giving, looking for Mjolo answers.
I want to be great.
I want to
be a provider for you.
People's lives.
Yeah. Sheena, how did you get up the comms side?
Snap. Growing up, I always wanted to be an inventor, then a superstar, and then a doctor. Then I went to a hospital, and I was like, I hate this joint. I was like grade 4 or something. I was just like, yeah, I just want to work with computers because that's the future.
Yeah,
it's the future.
Shane, we've been speaking a lot about
you guys are saying, sorry, Tato, computers are the future of the future. But why are you guys losing so many jobs?
Losing jobs? People lose jobs regardless.
Yeah, but it's at a massive scale.
It's also a bad market right now. Like,
especially the trust in the market we're in.
Going into like a recession soon.
Okay, sharp. Fair, the market is bad. Yeah. But the rate at which that sector is losing jobs is far more than the other guys.
Is that the case? If we had to look at the rate we might need to verify. Yeah, I think people are losing jobs in general.
Generally.
It just happens that there are certain areas that are being highlighted more than others because of the boom.
Let me phrase it like this.
There's been like a computer boom with the AI data science situation.
Let me phrase it like this.
Okay.
Growing up, like you just said now, the future is this.
Yeah.
Yo, Joe, I grew up to know that that market is resilient.
Yeah.
Even when we went to high school, it was a thing like, yo, dog, if you want a job, you want to do these technical low things. You want to be in the computer space. And then we saw that for a while. We saw when maybe first year, second year, we started seeing that, hey, homies really can work at Facebook and have, what do you call this? I saw these things unlimited leave days.
Yeah, and nap pods.
And then niggas are taking naps at work.
Sounds like the future.
To me, that sounded very infeasible. Like it's because you have 8 hours of work to do.
Yeah.
And then I feel like 4 hours of those 8 hours you are not productive at all. There's a case to be made that you are resting and you're but the answer is you are sitting down and you did nothing. And you're getting a large sum of money for it. And I just think that's infeasible.
What I can say is, well, speaking from my experience, we have flexi hours.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you have to deliver 8 hours.
You
can take breaks in between. You can do what you want.
Oh, and that's fine.
But
okay.
Your work has to be
you have to do
that's
your
how
job.
It works.
Yeah. You don't have to be there for 8 hours of your time.
It's deliverable.
Okay. Yeah.
So some people can deliver something that's going to take somebody 8 hours in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So but you're going to milk because they expect that in 8 hours.
But I'm sorry, I'm not in the space.
Yeah.
So I know terms like billable hours.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm assuming if I'm going to do a timesheet or
timestamp. Yeah, like a timesheet. Yeah.
So if you have billable hours, if it took you an hour.
Yeah.
Why would you say it took you an hour if somebody else was going to do it in 8?
Have you seen that thing where they have like a mechanic?
Yeah.
And he does like a simple job, like just turns on.
Or you're paying for the skills and
all
this.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Okay.
So because it's like in that space, not like because of practice and applying yourself and learning so many things, your understanding of things makes it too easy for you to, not easy, but it makes it better or makes you more efficient at solving problems.
Yeah.
So you... you're kind of getting paid back for that time you spend on your own account learning or mastering that skill.
I can appreciate
then
that.
It's technically it's still 8 hours because I might have just spent those 8 hours at a different time.
Yeah.
But it would have taken me 8 hours to do this if I didn't do that.
Okay.
But it takes me 2 now and I need to enjoy indulge in that luxury.
Yeah, but flexi hour sounds nice, guys. Hey.
Damn. No, it is. Sometimes it'd be like, yo, I'll be right back. Go do a shoot or a radio interview, come back.
And I'm still at work. Oh, guys, go to school, guys. Do engineering and stuff.
I kind of have a question for you guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, if somehow time travel existed,
yeah,
and you could go back in time and see your high school self, say you in grade 8, what do you think they would think of you right now, and what would you have to say to them?
Oh, my cool. grade 8 me would be like, oh! So many girls.
No, not that. That was a joke from my side. That was a joke from my side.
We are going there. I'd be like, my boy, just do your thing. We're going there.
Yeah. That's a great question, eh? Never really thought about it, but I hope I would be proud. It's just one of those things. Like, I hope I would be proud.
Did you think you would be?
I think you agree.
I think
you agree.
Like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, a little you would probably be like, yo, that's my whip. No. This is where I live.
That's how I look now.
This is what I look like.
No, we spoke about it.
Though. I got a beard.
I do.
Yeah. Out of all the things I do, I got a beard.
You know what's crazy? Because we did speak about it recently. Well, personally. It was... The other day, I came back from a long day of work. And then I'm like, I'm actually living my childhood dream.
Mm. Yeah.
That I go home and I do absolutely what I want to do. And I don't have to report to anyone.
Yeah.
Mm. What time is it? Yes. Where am I?
Yeah.
I don't even know where the night is going to end. And I'm proud of the fact that I can take care of this.
Yeah.
It's a system that... Yeah, yeah. Great question. I'll be proud.
Shout out.
I want to think about it a little bit more. What would you feel?
Man, I always used to grow up because everyone was telling me I'm cute. So I'd be like, yo, am I going to fall off when I grow up?
Do I get the concern?
As a stance, we're still looking good.
Yeah, hey, shout out.
But he'd be super proud, man. Like, I think there's... It gives me hope right now for me in 10 years' time or 15 years' time to say, yo, we can still do it.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that.
Actually, now that you mention it.
And we good.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? A lot of like older people that I come across and like, let's say I'll be talking about something, they'll be like, my boy, you are doing great.
Yeah.
Because where you are right now with what's happening, trust me, it could be worse on so many occasions.
That's so true.
It's and I don't want to sound like a socialist, but it's.
What are you doing?
My thing is, why do you sound, you kind of set yourself up before we get to it? Still, I don't want to call it a red race as well, but we lose ourselves in trying to fetch that thing. You want to be better.
Yeah,
and I think the longer you do that for, the harder it is to actually go out and reflect and say, hey, I've actually done okay. I'm not saying I've done exceptionally well.
Yeah,
I've done okay. Mm. I have food in my stomach. I have shelter. I have a nice car.
And that's in a way like how school has sort of shaped my thinking.
Yeah.
Because remember in school we have like terms and, you know, in between terms you get breaks and you have your exam and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking at life the same way. Like there are going to be seasons where it feels like introductory and you're going to have to learn something. You're going to suck at it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time where you're going to be tested on how much you've learned in that experience.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a time to rest.
Yeah. That's so you know, true. In the same light, I've thought about it in a different, from a different position in the sense that I always give myself 3 years for things.
Yeah.
Like it always takes me 3 years to go through the full, that full, similar full cycle.
Seasonality.
That seasonality, that whatever shape it takes. But like for 3 years, I know that for a certain period, everything's new to me.
Yeah.
Then after that, it's, oh, now I understand a few bits and pieces. I can now figure things out. Then finally, it's the mastery where you can now see how everything comes together. And then I expect myself to be more flexible than I was. Yeah. So that is actually like one way, that's a cool way to look at it and that put it together.
And I'm keen to see where the podcast is going to be at in 2 years. I'm sure we're going to cringe when we watch these episodes.
You reckon? You
know, yeah, I cringe at the ones that are out. Yeah. Sit down. I'll monitor mic the first few episodes.
No, I get that. I don't know.
I actually like those because they're still recent. Like, it's more than... But I don't know. I don't cringe. Like, it's for me... It's,
I'm very systematic. Like, for me, it's like, I know we've got a topic. I know we need to stick to the topic. Like, him pulling through with the school now, I was there like, wow, it's not like me. Like, he's able to link the topic with what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time we easily have a conversation about a certain topic and then we go far, which is okay, but sometimes we always need to come back and center back.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing that as we've been doing the podcast, I've been more chilled.
Yeah.
And you guys are also centering back a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's growth. It's growth. Technically speaking.
See, we're going through that cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the
cycle. Well, on what? On
we're on maturity.
And it's like a product life cycle.
Really dope, yo.
Yeah. That's it's been 3 months. Really,
really eight.
Eight.
8 months of
how do you not know?
We started in like what, March?
You know my thing.
When did we start?
You know, looking, I don't look at time, like I don't have an appreciation of time in a way, like looking back. Like,
especially after school,
no? Yeah, no, it was almost anything. Like, I'm not, like, somebody will ask me, how long have we known each other? And I'll be like, I don't know, since forever.
Yeah, but that's different because it's a long time.
Yeah, but despite that, like, even now when he said, I don't know how long we've been doing this podcasting thing for.
Yeah, but yeah.
Nine months.
I'm shocked at that.
Do you feel like you spend time reflecting on, like, your life or just stuff in general?
No, I just keep rocking.
Are you CPFing life? Like,
I just rock. Like, for me, it's on to the next. What am I need
bro,
to do
I've
next?
Been doing this new thing. I've been meditating every day.
Oh. I tried a bit.
I don't think it's about
breathing exercises.
No. Don't meditate and just breathe. Like, that's I don't like that.
I mean, breathe.
I meditate.
I breathe great now.
I play really good, like, meditation music.
Yeah.
And then I think about my day. What do I want my day to look like? How do I want my week to look like?
Yeah.
What have I done in the previous day? And what do I want the next 6 months to look like? And then I basically manifest all those things into my body, bro. Mm. Yeah. And that shit just gives me like a crazy work ethic.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You try that.
You should try it. Don't just do it to breathe and relax. We can do other things to relax. You know how we relax.
Yeah.
You, you also know how we relax.
Back outside, boys.
But I don't, one thing, because the thing is, I thought journaling was lame. That thing works, eh?
What is lame?
Journaling.
It triggers me too much, bro.
Yeah, I'm easily triggered too, bro. I haven't done that
yourself.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? I'm so sensitive to like reflection and things like that. I once walked into like, you know at UP they used to have these exam preparatory classes?
Yeah.
I once walked into one of those and like I remember it was like engineering 3 in the dungeon and we were chilling there and she was like going off with these like PowerPoint slides and telling you what you should have done or what you should do going into, and as she's speaking, right, I'm thinking about all the things she's mentioning that I haven't done in a week. Exam is like a week. It's like a week from now. That was the first time in my life I got a panic attack. And I lost it. That's when I realized that, you know what, I don't like looking back because I'm rather focused on
what's next,
dealing with what's coming, then, because if I sit there, right, I'm just going to ponder so long on how I messed up to get here. How much I've messed up to get here. I went to the garden. I had to chill. I had to center
but in
myself.
School, when you got to term two, did you throw away the notes you made in term one?
Burn it. No, not term, years.
Yeah,
years is fine, but terms is
I
like,
needed it.
You're gonna need it.
Yeah, I need it for the final exam.
That's kind of like how I feel about life. Like,
okay,
it's all terms, bro. Like, you're gonna have to sit down and look at, okay, cool, this is where I came from and where I am at right now.
Yeah.
If I want to hit in this direction, am I really going there or am I vying off like a different path? I feel like that's where reflection helps you.
No, I get that. I'm not necessarily saying that I don't look. I just don't scrutinize it. I am aware of where I was and where I am now in relation to that and how I got here.
Yeah.
I know what I had to do and I keep lessons in mind. Like, I always, I'm very systematic in like keeping record of what did I do right to get here. Yeah. So say for example, now I'm doing like my master's and I remember like things or techniques I did.
Some shout out. That's a master's.
But like, yeah, I think about lessons I learned in undergrad. Like, how did I finally make it out of undergrad? What systems I had to change, how I should approach situations, because I had this thing, you know, when they started saying fly at UP, at first we didn't care about it until I actually like paid attention. I'm like, if I get 65% minimum for my semester mark, I can get away with like
a 14
with like a 14 the exam. I can like get away, so it's less pressure on me if that's all that's required.
I mean, there's less pressure,
I take that
better.
Those lessons and things like that, I keep them in mind moving forward. The only thing I don't do is go back and dwell and be like, on things, especially things that I did wrong or what I failed at, and be like, how did I do that? Or maybe why was that so bad? Or why was the situation so terrible? So I think what I must make clear is that when I say that I don't look back, I necessarily pick and choose what I look back at.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's more, I don't like the bad. I just want the good without the, I want my cake.
you know, what's the advantage of actually keeping record of the bad?
Yeah.
So now you know where your shortcomings are. You know what your triggers are. You know, okay, that's what, if I do this and this happens, I should avoid that.
So I feel like I fix those. I want the lessons of how I fixed those.
But how do you evaluate that you did fix it?
Because it was a bad moment. Yeah. Yes, I was, let's say I failed at something.
Yeah.
I was aware that I failed. Yeah. But that failure stopped at the point when I started looking back to say, okay, how did I get here and how can I move forward? What can I improve from this point forward moving?
Yeah.
And then once I get that intel on how to move forward, I take that piece and keep that. Why should I dwell on this? Because I solved that problem. I'm aware of the solution to the problem. If I ever come across that problem again, I will just apply the same solution. Yeah. And if it stops working, I need to evaluate why it stopped working. Maybe conditions changed. But those ones I solved, I don't want to dwell on what I solved.
I hear what you're
just
saying.
To listen.
This man's already doing a master's in industrial engineer.
No, I'm actually doing a master's in computer science. It's like in data science.
That's hard.
I've been doing algorithms and shit.
Hey, man, that's really cool, bro.
Yeah, like, I listen to you talk about this stuff and I'm like, shit, I like that.
Yeah, but this is a really cool episode, guys. I'm going to keep this one short because we have to...
We're on studio time. Now I feel like a rapper.
For real.
Yeah. It's studio time. Like, now we gotta feel like rappers. Like we got like 2 hours of studio time, and then like we gotta be like quick. Hey, so it's not cool.
You can have an opportunity to be a fan because I'm a genius. You know I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I need. Yeah.
Remember when you had braids?
I remember very well.
Oh, you guys can like bond.
I've had braids before.
Though. Welcome, guys.
Yeah. Is that you? Are you done?
No.
Questions. I'm just trying to figure out which one to start with. What's your favorite song you've made?
Damn.
Oh, what's the song you like the most now?
I'm going to give you an answer probably a lot of parents use.
Yeah.
But they're all my favorite.
I know my mom likes me more.
That single brother would be happy about that.
Snap.
Okay, like, let me rephrase the question. Your most meaningful song to you?
Rephrase it to make it worse.
Most meaningful song. It's one I did in this series just now, and I even forgot what it's called.
The series or the song?
Both. But it was speaking on, like, you know, we all go through dark times and it gets really tough in life, but you know, sun will shine again.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, for me, it's one of the other things that I've been envious about. I think musicians and creatives have this refined ability to express themselves. And you get to see it when people actually relate to the music, that, oh, you actually saying things that people wanted to say or what people wanted to hear, but they couldn't say it.
Mm.
So I think in a sense, that's why I asked which one is the most meaningful one. I was just trying to understand that when you do make songs or you make music, what message are you trying to get out there?
For me personally, it's love.
Yeah. But you also understand how hard it is for niggas to talk. You see how hard it is to talk about it as well.
Yeah.
Just casually. It's always hard. It's always, especially when it comes to R&B songs.
Yeah.
Like, you get to hear that actually niggas love.
Bruh. Like, but also it's weird being in a studio and it's just gents,
nigga.
And you're recording a song like, I'm gonna break your back. And then niggas is like, yo. It's fire. Nah, what part is fire? But like, honestly, you've never struck me as a person that's failed to express themselves. Maybe you're not doing it in a conventional entertainment space, but bro, you're a dope human being.
Shut up. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. Fan of a fan.
Drop a mistake.
Hey, breezy. Nah, but I always do the thank yous at the end. No?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate the time.
I wanted to ask, do you have anything coming up like anytime soon?
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you?
I have lots coming up. I've been...
You're telling me about some music. Yeah. You want to send me some
There's some music. We just dropped Love Candy.
Yeah.
And that's like a prelude to... Shout out Junior Torres for real. That man's a genius, bro.
Nah, shout out to Junior Torres.
Shout out Junior
Torres. For
Junior.
Real.
Shout out to you, my nigga.
Shout out, man. Thank you. It's a prelude to the album Crush, which is it's been rolling out for 2 years now. Thank you, COVID.
Yeah, shout
but
out.
But yeah, there's that, and there's another character like I've been working on.
Dope.
You know me, like I'm
yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the multiverse of madness right now. It's really fun expressing myself like that.
I think there's one thing I like about your music and your stuff, because you get into character for whatever you're working on at that time.
Because
when you were doing the, what is it, Silk?
You know,
Samsung. Yeah. When you were doing Samsung, you were in character, the shots, you made sure you get all those, and it blended perfectly with the tape, because when you listen to the tape,
no, that's an artist,
you know. Yeah, and I think seeing that and listening to the music helped, like, makes me appreciate the artistry. Everything, like, you actually, it's not just about recording a tape and then here you go. It's like recording a tape and then I'm also going to look at how I'm going to deliver it to you, how I package it, all that whole experience.
Yeah.
And when we receive it as people listening to it, we feel it exactly like that.
Yeah, and
we appreciate that effort.
Yeah. Who do I call as a banger, by the way? I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, I figured you wanted him to say something you like.
But many songs are mistakes, and it's like, for me, like, a lot of, or rather, let me take a step back. My dilemma was, I could make all these genres.
Yeah.
And a lot of people came up to me like, what artist are you?
Yeah.
And it got really tough saying, well, I do everything. So
yeah,
I had to kind of create these pockets and new characters to contextualize
really
a new genre. And it makes releasing even more fun for me. I don't want this to be an interview, but hey.
We're having a chat.
Even something like Love Candy. Like, me and Taurus literally locked in 1 November 2020.
That's crazy.
One night, we just bashed them out like that.
Damn.
I lived with those songs for 2 years. I have this like wine theory I go with. Like, if I can listen to my songs a year or two afterwards and I still mess with it, it's a good song.
Yeah.
So releasing it now is just like, I'm kind of tired of the song. So love them, but let's make it exciting for me too, so that people can feel that energy when we roll it out.
That's dope.
I could go on if you guys want.
No, you can wrap up. You can wrap up.
Should I wrap up?
Yeah.
Shout out to Unorams.
Thank you guys for having me. I thought we were going to do this for life.
For the whole day.
Oh, we can rock, but it's studio time.
Yeah, hopefully we chat again in a few months again. Yeah. And circumstances have changed. Maybe you dropped. Maybe you got that masters.
Ish.
Yeah, amen.
1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
So I think it's very beautiful to grow with other people.
Mm.
And again, luck. You did nothing to have a friend like this.
Me and my daddy always have this conversation. It's always a back and forth.
No, we've had this argument for 10 years.
For 10 years going. And he says luck. I say it's just situations you can't really pinpoint.
You're really scientific in your thinking. I
try my best to articulate.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Shout out to everybody watching and listening on all platforms. You guys have been great. We love you guys. Shout out. Drop some comments,
thank
please.
You for watching.
Let us know what you like about this platform and what you'd like us to improve. And you guys asked for guests, and that's what we've been doing. Look at us listening. So thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the love. And we hope you're creating value. Shout out. You are loved. Peace.